not entertain!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 220.
And it's Tuesday, February 6th, 2018.
Today, we don't have a ton of content, but some big things did happen. Of course, Jeff is here as well, and he's prepping the French press, ready to pour some coffee. Now, as we always do, we always try to guess what the coffee is, but if this is the first time joining the French press, this is a conversation from our lives. Hopefully you'll find it interesting, or at the very least, somewhat encouraging.
The sound of French press coffee.
I do have a little tease. One of our most popular segments was the single thought segment.
Oh.
Someone told me, hey, they have a single thought. They want to stop by and deliver it. Well, it didn't work out for today.
Couldn't he just text us what the single thought was?
I told him he could even just call in, but he said that doesn't feel dramatic enough. So like, this person views himself, I guess, as somewhat of
extra single.
Well, I was going to, I guess that might be the case too, but I was going to say somewhat of a performer.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like also like the biggest surprise of this entire podcast is the fact that it's actually being recorded on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Instead of Wednesday like it was for the last, 3 weeks?
Probably two out of the last three, three out of the last four. We are thinking about getting into maybe a different schedule, but for right now we'll stick with Tuesday.
We are?
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it.
I forget.
I talked about it with you.
Thank you for reminding me.
Anyway, today I've got a tech tip for you that people are going to thank me for this tech tip. Tech tips that I offer are so obscure that there's maybe one out of 100 people that might find it interesting or useful.
Uh-huh.
Multiple people will thank me for this tip.
Oh, wait, question though.
Yes.
So, since you're wagering that people will thank you for this tip, like, how do you think that they will notify you that they are thankful? Like, is it going to be through a Facebook message? Are they going to say it to you in person? Are they going to call you up? Like, as they're listening to this podcast, they're like, oh, I need to stop this podcast because this tip is so useful. I need to call Ruben up, or I need to text him personally.
I'm expecting to get 5 responses, and probably over a couple different ways. Probably a few text messages, probably one or two in person comments as they see me and as we're talking, and then maybe one just Facebook comment on a post.
Okay, all right.
That's good to know. That's coming up. You have,
man. You are like really teasing.
Look forward to this.
You got insane tech tip.
We can talk a little bit about my trip over the weekend. I flew out to Arkansas, and I brought
for
home
what?
My fiance.
Oh my!
My final trip to Arkansas.
That's, no, it won't. Yeah,
well,
I would wager.
It won't be the final trip to Arkansas. I will visit the state again. However, it was the final trip where I was going to visit my girlfriend.
Ah.
And it feels so good. It feels different. It's something to get used to. Because we've been doing long-term relationships for so long.
Oh.
And I don't know any different.
Right.
But I'm learning to find out the difference.
Good job.
So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. I know you had a question for me or a comment about something I posted over the weekend.
Yeah.
We can get to that later. Let's talk about what all we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The poll results are in. The question we had given last time. And
also Jeff.
Yes, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeff had an interesting weekend as well.
I did.
I mean, it didn't quite meet. I don't think he quite had the same weekend that I did. But nonetheless,
it sounded like it was almost as magical. Almost.
I doubt it. But it surprised me, Jeff. So let's start
with the poll results.
With the poll results, yeah. Sure. The question that I had had asked is, after we hit 300 followers on Facebook, what should we do to celebrate? You know, we want to do some kind of a giveaway or something. So what what could we do? And the questions were, or the options were, giving away a French press t-shirt, giving away a pound of Main Street coffee, late in recording a voice message, or giving away a French press bracelet. Mm-hmm. So number one was giving away a French press shirt. I'm not surprised by that. That received 54% of the votes.
Wow.
And then the Main Street pound of coffee from Main Street was second with 31% of the votes.
Wow. And were you surprised by that?
I was surprised that the voice recording memo only received 15% of the votes, because I feel like that is gold. That's the one I would have voted for. Because I feel like that would be, it'd be so unique. It'd be the only one out there.
It's true.
I guess someone could possibly copy your recording, but then it wouldn't be as great a quality.
Yeah.
So it'd be just something so unique.
I think you underestimate how thrifty our fans are. I think they like, oh, something free. Like, oh, Leighton's voice. That's like pretty much, I mean, that's not that special.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, what value is that?
What value?
I can't sell that for something.
Why can't I find out how many followers we have on Facebook? I thought it used to just show up.
Isn't it page likes?
Yeah, but where is it at? I don't see it on our page anywhere.
Hmm. Here, let me pull out my handy-dandy iPhone.
I know it's on the app, the page manager app. Anyway, while you're looking that up, I'm expecting we probably should be there by now, because we were only a few away. That'd be kind of embarrassing.
I don't know.
But really. I've been embarrassed before.
You guys, before we go on.
We're still at 297. Like. That's hilarious.
Hey, we should see if you guys can guess what kind of coffee this is. And so, I do apologize, it's a little bit on the weak side because I didn't get enough coffee beans.
All right. We tried this for the first time.
Small batches.
For the first time last week, we tried this. And Jeff does tell us if it's a single origin or if it's a blend.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like I shouldn't even tell you that this time, because since you have an inkling from where it's from.
Yeah, we know it's from Main Street Coffee House.
So I'm not going to tell you that, because you'd probably guess it then.
It is really good coffee. It's very smooth, not sour or super strong.
You said this is from Main Street?
Yes.
I feel like this is definitely a blend.
A blend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's so, definitely not... Highlander,
not a blend.
Not Highlander Grog.
Not Highlander Grog. Do they even have Highlander Grog at the coffee shop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do? Okay.
Well, I know it's available for, like, to drink.
I do remember seeing it there. I just never had it.
I need to look at the different coffee names.
Yeah, look up the different coffee names, Ruben, and then read them back to me.
Yeah, and that website for that coffee is mainstreetroasters.com, in case anyone's interested. So I'm thinking it's either, I'm going to look at the blends, because I feel like it's a blend. They don't have that many blends. I thought there was more of this. It's not the espresso blend. It's not the French roast. It's not strong enough for that.
Jeff has a really good
poker face. There is LL Bean's Main Street blend or Miller Morning blend.
Let's go with the Miller Morning blend.
The Miller Morning blend is darker than the Main Street blend.
I'm going to guess the Miller Morning blend.
And I think too, the Main Street blend, I'm pretty sure it's not the Main Street blend. And the LL Beans is so light, it's not that one. So I'm thinking too, if it is a blend, I think it's the Miller Morning blend.
You are wrong.
Oh,
is it the French roast?
It is not.
So
it is actually Costa Rican Terrazzo.
Oh.
I have no idea.
Which happens to be my favorite kind from Main Street.
Okay. This is good.
I
It's very smooth, not too strong, but there's none of that soury, acidy flavor to it.
If you would have said single origin, I would have went with Costa Rican.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an opportune time, and sadly, we can't, like, make any money off of this, so this is for free. But it is not worth cheaping out on coffee.
No.
Like, me and my wife have tried. We tried it one time. We bought Great Value brand coffee. Yeesh.
And ironically enough.
Yeah. terrible value coffee.
That's the sound I made when I tasted it for the first time. It's disgust. Also, I found out that you can use... What would you use if you ran out of coffee filters? What would you use to strain coffee? What would be your first I can use that.
Well, the first paper towel? Thing that popped my mind was either paper towel or a napkin, but I think it would deteriorate and get into the coffee, I think.
My wife, we had to use a paper towel.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't... This is a piece of content that I just thought about.
Well, just keep on going.
If I were to use paper towel, I would rinse it with water. I would make it wet first and rinse that paperiness out of it.
The paperiness.
And then,
are you afraid that little Franzen?
Well, I think that there would be some inherent floaters.
Little paper floaters.
No, yeah. Jeff, I think that's ridiculous.
The dust of the paper towel itself would be in there.
Would you use cold water or hot water? Because the coffee going through it is so hot, there's gonna be some paper bits that are gonna get into your coffee.
I think paper bits get into your coffee just from the coffee filters,
regular filters. Probably, but with the Chemex coffee, when you use their filters, they actually recommend rinsing it first because that the paper can affect the flavor if you don't rinse it out first.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Anyways.
What did you use? A sock?
No. We used a t-shirt, an old work t-shirt, and we specifically aimed it to strain the coffee through the armpit. And it was the best coffee. It tasted like the Highlander grog. No, it didn't.
Is the Highlander your favorite coffee?
No, but I feel like it is the most...
The coolest name?
Well, it is a cool name, but it's also the most smelly. I can smell Highlander grog when it is brewing. I feel like any Main Street fan who has been there a time or two knows what Highlander grog smells like. Anyway, for the first time ever since I've gotten married, me and my wife hosted a Sunday lunch at our house.
Really?
Now, was it a family host or was it a church host?
Well, see, here's the thing. Our church didn't have church.
Sunday morning.
Sunday night.
Okay.
So, because the activity was some sort of outreach.
Okay.
So, we decided, you know what? We've wanted to have our neighbors over for a while. And we decided this is the outreach that we're going to do. And it was great. It went very well. But
so you had your neighbors over. That is cool.
My wife was so nervous because this was her first, Sunday meal preparing ever. And she just, was so nervous about it. And it was it's the neighbors. What if we botch this up? And it's
And especially because there's a little bit of friction between you and the neighbors with the whole snow blowing and leaf blowing.
No, but get this. This is the coolest thing ever. My neighbor is the sweetest old man ever. Because after we invited him, we invited him a week in advance. He knew about, maybe not a week, but almost. It had a surprise snowing Sunday morning. There was quite a bit of snow on the ground that not a lot of people, I wasn't aware of it. Or
I wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah, right. Nobody really was.
I also wasn't looking at the forecast, but...
And so we left for church, whatever, a normal Sunday morning. Carrie, a little bit nervous. I'm whatever. We're ready or not, here we come. Go to church. It was great. And then we're thinking, we have all of our ducks in a row. It's fine. I tell my wife, hey,
the ducks are in a row.
The ducks in a row. Everything's going to be fine. What could possibly go wrong? So as soon as church lets out... We quickly rush out to the car because we got to get home, make sure food's all good, and the car doesn't start. I know.
My eyes just got big for the listeners out there.
Ruben's eyes got big
and my mouth dropped a little bit.
It did.
What did you do? Where did you go? Who did you call?
I had to hitch a ride. I couldn't get it started.
Did it turn over?
It turned over fine.
But didn't fire.
It never fired.
It sounds like a problem with the... the spark plug not igniting the fuel that was going being pumped by the piston.
Could possibly be.
So it did turn over.
It did turn over. Jeff already knows the end of the story.
Yeah.
As far as with my car. But don't spoil it, Jeff. So.
Spoiler alert.
We hitched a ride with one of my other church brethren. And he took us home. And it was fine. The lunch went great. My neighbor and his daughter really enjoyed it and whatever.
So your neighbor, it's a man and his daughter, or what? Yeah. Is that all you that invited? Did you invite several neighbors?
No, just the man and his daughter.
Okay.
And then also my sister and my mom.
Okay, well, that's good.
So that's slightly family hosted.
You invited some
people.
And
it was a good thing that I invited my mom, because it turns out that my mom knew quite a few people that they also knew. And so we were able to play a little bit of the Mennonite game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
It's good to invite multiple old people, because often they can ricochet conversations back and forth.
Yeah, it's like a game of tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis conversations.
Yeah, Batman. Tennis conversations, you know, bouncing it back and forth. Do you want to hear...
What happened with your car?
What happened with my car?
Yeah.
Or should I just leave it hanging?
No, I want closure.
Should you leave it parked?
All right, so I, being so resourceful, decided... Rather than calling a tow truck, let's fast forward a day. So Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're fast forwarding a day.
You have one vehicle that you're getting around with Sunday afternoon and Monday.
Right. So I borrowed my dad's truck for Monday to go to work. Go to work. And then it was suggested to me, rather than towing, rather than just pulling, I was just going to use like a strap and pull my car all the way to a mechanic shop. But on icy roads, that's not smart. So it was suggested to me, hey, just use one of the PWI trailers. Workers have access to those for free if they want. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, hey, what a brilliant idea. And one of the trailers has a winch on it. One of the tilt trailers has a winch. Like, oh, that'll be handy for pulling it up onto the trailer. That's perfect. That means I won't have to have my wife push it while I steer it onto the trailer. You know, it'll save her a little bit of a workout, and, you know.
I feel like that would be really difficult.
It would be.
For any person.
Yeah.
To steer while it being pushed.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, with the power steering gone, it is difficult. Yeah. So, I hook up the tilt trailer to my dad's truck, and I leave after work with the trailer. I go over to the church. Oh, no, wait. I pick up my wife at home first, and then we go over to the church. And I decided, you know what? Before I actually go through the hassle of loading this thing up, I'm going to try to start it up one more time. But I thought, hey, you know what? Maybe there's what's called a vape lock, where if the car senses that there's fumes in the gas tank, then it, like, on purposely won't start. It won't fire. Mm-hmm. That's the way I understand what a vape lock is. So I decided, you know what? Maybe I need to let those fumes out. I need to let it air out a little bit, mm-hmm. You know? So what I did was, on my car, there's no gas cap, actually. There's like...
Is this your flex or is this
This is my flex.
Okay.
There's like a little metal flipper that automatically closes... Mm-hmm. Whenever you take out the pump nozzle.
So how are you going to...
It's like a capless
thing. How are you going to air out this?
So I figured out why there's a... Like how it has such easy access. I tried pushing my finger to move that little metal flipper, mm-hmm. and it didn't budge at all. Like it was stiff in there. But then I see two little plastic buttons on each side of the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I push on those two, and then I insert my fingers, and then it bloop, right
it's
open.
It's like part of the anti-theft mechanism.
And as soon as I push that up, I hear like a I didn't. But I held it open. Maybe this isn't the smartest thing, but I left like one finger like pretty much all the way inserted, and then I tell my wife, go and start the car.
I don't think that would
I don't think it's dangerous. That dangerous, but it still felt awkward. Like, this might end up being, like, a really dumb... Like, my arm might light on fire. I don't know.
What is going on with my mic?
And as soon as she turns the key, it starts, like, right up perfectly. And then
so,
I was able to take...
So
the
it clearly off. Was some kind of a vape...
I think so. Lock.
Did you find out what would cause that? Just the temperature change?
Well, see, the only thing that I can think of is that at church, we parked on a slight incline. And so that might have made so that the tank was might have like flowed to a different part of the gas tank and then caused like a little bit of a vacuum or something. I have no idea. But I'm just glad I don't have to spend money fixing my car.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you came in saying you had new content, but you did deliver fairly well.
Thanks.
Obviously, I'll talk real quickly about the weekend.
Yeah.
I was really happy to fly down there and then bring Carmen back home.
What post? What sort of sick media content did you release?
I knew I would get
onto the world
some blowback, which is why I posted it as an Instagram story and not just a normal post that is permanent. But as I was in the jet flying over Missouri, because I actually landed in Springfield, Missouri. I looked out. We were getting low. The sky was pretty clear, and the sun was just shining down really brightly. And there's a bunch of little ponds over the area we were flying. As I looked out, it just so happened that the sun was just shining off those ponds, and it just made them sparkle and look like they were filled with gold or silver or diamonds. And I just, the thought that came to my mind is that, well, do you actually want to know what I posted?
I
guess that maybe
it was posted on the guys group.
I saw the post.
It's so bad.
I know I would get some blowback.
Should I read
here?
It?
I didn't find it yet. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So this is Ruben's word. I'm going to try to read it in the way that he was thinking. The sun glimmering off these ponds makes them look like they're filled with gold or silver. I am here to pick up a precious treasure. Oh, and don't forget a smiley face with heart eyes.
And that's the first smiley face with heart eyes I've posted publicly on social media.
Oh,
it wasn't even that publicly, though.
It wasn't even that public. I mean, it was in my story. Who looks at stories?
I for sure don't, because there is junk like this. That's why I avoid stories.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Anyway, the only we had a little scare when we were driving. We drove back Friday night, so left around 9 o'clock, got home in the morning Saturday. But when we were going through St. Louis, we were switching drivers, and we didn't fuel up with gas, but we went in to get some coffee or stuff to drink.
And you got mugged.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, serious?
Carmen was driving, and then we were switching. So I got in the driver. Sid Ray got into the passenger seat, was sitting there, reclined back, and was starting to doze off before we even left. I got in the car and was punching in directions in my phone, and then I just see this figure walk up beside the door and try to open the car door. I freaked out. And the person kept, and then it was, and then I could hear the person say, "Oh, sorry," and keep on walking. But it's still like just a jolt of adrenaline just like went through my body. It was insane. Oh. I think it was accidental, but it was probably 2 a.m., one or 2 a.m. in the morning, and there were some other people around, but it was kind of in a slummy part of St. Louis, which maybe that's most of the city.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any other part?
But that I was awake then for a while after that, just from the adrenaline.
It probably did, like, in. It probably did for you what, like, a five-hour energy would probably have done.
Ironically enough, usually five-hour energy keeps me going.
Yeah.
I took one. And I was tired within an hour. And then I took the second one, and again I was about like on the next drive. And then again I was tired within about an hour and a half. And usually they keep me awake, but I was tired. I was shot. Anyway, other than that, we made it back home without incident. One other quick tip I wanted to mention. When I was flying out, I flew out Friday morning, and I forgot on my keys I have a little pocket knife. Mm. And I knew they would take it at security, and it wouldn't be a huge loss, but I didn't want to take the time to go back to the vehicle to drop it off. I would have had time, but I just didn't want to deal with it. So I went and took the pocket knife off of my keychain and put it in one of the posts, one of the posts that are there outside the South Bend Airport. And lo and behold, when we came back Saturday morning, it was still there.
Well, perfect.
So,
but you do know that you're not supposed to leave any luggage.
It's not luggage.
Unattended.
It was unattended, but it wasn't luggage.
Okay. You shouldn't leave it. What if a child would have found that, opened it up, and slit its own throat? What then?
If that would happen, I mean, I would obviously, I'd be sad. But I feel like the likeliness of that happening is, I mean, it's more likely that the plane that the kid was going on would fall out of the sky.
Do you realize that knives kill people?
I know.
Just like guns.
Guns
kill people.
Don't kill people. I kill people with guns. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
No, Jeff.
My goodness, it's the dumbest song.
It sounds retarded.
It's Jeff. Really retarded.
Now all these innocent children are going to be looking that song up.
It's Jeff's fault.
I feel like that was a greater potential for risk than me leaving my pocket knife.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Anyways, anything else? On your trip?
I'm sure there was, but right now, it's only been a few days, but it feels so far in the past. I almost forgot about the pocket knife thing. It feels like it's been several weeks ago already.
Like, you feel like so much has happened since then that it seems like almost like a lifetime ago.
Pretty much.
Wow. All right, Jeff. I want to hear this experience that you had in Chicago.
So
don't forget. I'm just going to tease again because of how great this is going to be and how life changing this is going to be. The tech tip is yet to come.
Yeah.
Well, Ruben, while you were having your enjoyable weekend driving a lot,
I feel like you drove a lot too.
We actually also drove a lot too. So Theodore, Nicholas, I, and Brian Pope went up to Chicago. For the weekend. We had been planning this trip for a while, but there's a restaurant in Chicago. It's the number 2 restaurant in the U.S.
How do you know?
Because that's...
Is it called number 2?
That's the rankings.
The ranking?
I went and looked at the rankings. Anyways, I heard about this, and it's a 3 Michelin star restaurant, which is... It's incredibly difficult to get that rating. Anyways, long story short, we were like, you know what? This restaurant is close. We want to do this kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing and just see what it's like to eat at an insanely expensive restaurant. And so we did. And, yeah, it was...
Well, tell us. I want to know a little bit. Did it look and feel like a steakhouse?
Not at all.
Did it look and feel like a cottage? Like a bread and breakfast?
We walk into the restaurant, okay? And there's a dress code. It's not super strict, but like you can't wear tennis shoes. You can't wear ripped jeans. A suit jacket is recommended, although we didn't wear any.
And what is it called?
The restaurant is called Alenia.
Okay.
And it is not quite in downtown Chicago, but it's in Old Town, which is near downtown Chicago. So we walk in this restaurant. First off, they have a set menu. You don't go there and order food. You go there and they give you food, whatever they choose. The menu we chose was a 10 to 14 course tasting menu. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, you have it with you here.
I have 10 items on this list. Now, some of them had multiple things in each. But anyways, basically they would give you small portions of just different foods. And and then you just ate them and saw what you thought about it, I guess. I don't know. But it was a very enjoyable experience for us. So
what were some of the things that you ate?
Well, I'll go through and explain those things. But when I walk in the restaurant, I noticed it's like a fancy restaurant. Everything is kind of like a gray theme with really nice chairs. Like
comfy nice or looking
comfy,
nice?
Comfy, good looking. Like And then so we went up and they took us in right away. You know, we got there about probably 10 minutes before our reservation, but we were able to go in and sit down pretty much right away. And then we sat in a booth that was in a small oval-shaped room. And there was maybe six booths and then a table in the center for the waiters to do their stuff on. And so they, like, pull the table out so that we can sit behind. There was a bench on one side and then two chairs on the other side. And they seated us. They pulled the table out so that we could sit on the bench. And they pulled the chairs out for us as we sat down. So that was kind of cool. And the whole restaurant just had this slightly odd smell to it. And I just could not place it. But it was like, it was a perfumey smell. And I was like, what in the world is this? But it was maybe a little bit of a woodsy. And I just thought, man, it's a little bit odd, but okay, whatever. And I also noticed the music was this same 10-second loop. But it was very, it was quiet. It was kind of like not really there, but you could hear it. You definitely hear it, but you didn't really notice it that much. And throughout the rest of the evening, I totally like forgot about it. So it was like, it was the right music, but right at first I noticed it kind of jump out at me. I was like, what in the world? This is kind of different. Anyways, so we sit down, and what they do is they bring out a dish to you, and they explain what it is, and kind of they'll sometimes explain how it was made or where it comes from, and then they'll also tell you how to eat it, because some of these dishes come out, and you're like, what in the world? How am I supposed to eat this? And they'll tell you how. So that was kind of cool. So the first dish that we got was... they called it wet snow, and it came out in this little pot with a lid on it. And when they set it down in front of us, there's four of us, and they had two waiters, and all four pots were set on the table at the exact same time, right in front of us. That's kind of cool. And then they set a lime there, and the lime had like a little notch cut out of the top of it, and the bottom was cut off so that it would sit upright. And then there was a little notch in the top of it with a little spear of romaine lettuce with some fancy stuff on it. And then they opened the little pot for us, and inside was what looked like snow, but it was made out of roe, which is a kind of fish. And then it had caviar on top, and then at the bottom underneath it was little balls of Asian pear. Really odd combination, but...
And you ate it. One bite would include the caviar and the pear as well.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah, and so they tell you if there's a specific order to eat it in or if it doesn't matter what order. Okay. And they tell you, like, some things they said you should eat this in one bite, other things they said you should eat this in two bites. So that was actually really good. And it had a very citrusy hint to it, I would say. And it was, they called it a palate cleanser, which it was. It kind of like refreshed your taste buds and getting ready for what's to come. The second course became really apparent how much time they thought about making this food. So the second course came out, and it was a leaf of lettuce on a plate or on a bowl, covering up a bowl. And they give you a spoon. And I was like, what in the world? And then they take a little kettle of some liquid and pour it over in the center of the dish. The whole time there was this bowl of oranges. Okay. I thought it was just for decoration. They pour liquid.
Unpeeled oranges?
Unpeeled oranges, yeah. And then there's one cut in half just to look nice. And real orange leaves.
Wow.
Which... You can't just buy that anywhere. You have to actually get that from somewhere. Anyways, so they pour this liquid over these oranges, and immediately you realize that there's dry ice underneath the oranges. And so there's this steam flowing out of the bowl. It's really cool. And then they set down this little bowl on the table, and it had ice cubes, and then a light underneath the ice cubes, and it had four little miniature oranges on top. They had little leaves on them and everything. It was obviously handmade. Wasn't a real orange, but it looked like it. And so they said.
And do you have pictures of much of this stuff?
I do, but it's like very poor quality because the restaurant was pretty dimly lit.
Okay.
so anyways, and then they explained that this lettuce leaf, which you eat with a spoon, is actually dehydrated cabbage. And it's crunchy. And you're supposed to break it up, and then there's stuff underneath that you eat with it. And so underneath, then there was this cheesy sauce with coconut and mango, I believe it was. It was kind of sweet. And then it had some crab in there as well. And then so you'd break that up and then eat it with. And this whole time, this liquid or this steam that was coming out of the bowl smelled like oranges. So it kind of like added to the flavor that you were smelling, this strong smell with the food. That was, yeah. And so that was one of my favorite dishes there. And then the little oranges you were supposed to eat afterwards. And he said, put the whole thing in your mouth then, and close your lips, then chew. And so I did. And you put it in there and it barely put any pressure on it, and it just burst. And it was filled with orange juice.
Oh.
It was like a shell filled with some kind of orange juice mixture. It was really good. And that kind of cleaned out the flavor out of your mouth, because that was a pretty strong dish.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned the flavor out for the next dish. It was kind of, yeah. So then that was cold. Now there was snow on the first one. There was ice on the second one. And the third one, they removed the bowl of oranges and placed a bowl of snow in the center of the table.
Of actual snow.
What appeared to be actual snow.
They went out
and then
they got snow.
So during the summer.
To transition from this, they lit the snow on fire.
Ooh.
And it was, so that was pretty neat. It looked like snow, but it actually had some kind of
twas a meal of ice and
material
fire
in there. So that was burning then the entire time our next dish was served to us and we ate it. And that came out on a rock that was hot. And it was a little piece of squid with some sauce to dip it in that was made, that was colored with squid ink. So it was jet black, this little strip of sauce next to it. And then there was these little rolled up, I think it was seaweed, I'm not sure, but like rolled up crunchy straws with potato filling on the inside. That was with the next dish. Oh yeah, this dish, they brought out a bowl of rocks, black rocks, like river stones, except on top there was four rocks that were like slightly blacker than the rest, and he said, you're supposed to eat those, but don't eat any of the others.
The other ones were probably real.
So, like, and then the rocks ended up being some kind of, it was like almost a jello coating around some kind of stuff on the inside. It was, that was
something
pretty good too.
Sweet?
Yeah, it was a little bit sweet, yeah. Everything was delicious. Like, so none of these things were like some of them were very unique flavors that I'd never experienced before, but I didn't dislike anything that I ate.
Was the squid, was it fried or was it steamed?
It was steamed, I believe.
and was it hot? It was hot when you ate it, right?
Yeah.
It came
yeah,
on the hot
yeah.
rock.
Yeah, the rock was hot. I think the squid may have been cold when they put it on, but it like warmed up a little bit. So anyways, there's this fire blazing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they bring out a branch of juniper and use it to put out the fire and then just set it on top of this flaming thing. And in doing so, it starts creating this juniper smell. And this is the smell that we smelled when we walked in the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And it smelled really good. But juniper is actually like a poisonous kind of thing.
Mm.
And then they had these four little hush puppies on top of the juniper. And so
they're
those,
trying to poison you.
Apparently.
Trying to tempt you.
So, and they said, don't eat those until after your next course because that's supposed to soak up the flavor from the smell of the juniper. And it was a little ball of bread filled with huckleberry jam and venison.
Mm-hmm.
And the next dish was they brought out a bowl and poured some broth in it. And then in the bowl already was it looked like a piece of paper kind of. Brown paper, but it was actually langoustine, which is a kind of lobster or similar to lobster, and it had been ground up and then smeared thin and dehydrated. So then you were supposed to mix this in with using chopsticks. They gave you chopsticks for this dish, and you're supposed to mix that into the broth, let it kind of soak up, and then it was kind of like a noodle. And then this is the dish where they served the little straws with the potato filling. Mm-hmm. And then you were supposed to drink the broth afterwards and then eat the little breads. So then this was the coolest part for me. After that, they took away the branch, but not the bowl in the middle, which I thought was a little bit odd or whatever. Maybe they're going to clean it up later or something. I forgot to mention, if you left to use the restroom at any point in time, you came back and there was a brand new napkin at your place. Like, they were very, very psycho about that. And, like, if you had to go to the bathroom, they would always, like, show you where, you know, I don't know if they were, like, trying to prevent you from disturbing other guests or if they just were trying to be extra hospitable.
Did you go to the bathroom while you were there?
I did, yeah.
How was it?
It was a one-holer. It was...
There was only one
There was
urinal.
Only... It was like just a single... Yeah, a single room.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, it was just like a one-person thing. But it was like very well done.
There a guy in there that would dry your hands?
There was
Why
no guy in
not?
There. But there was, instead of like paper towels, they had a little plate of napkins. And then after you dried your hand off with one of these napkins, you drop it into, it's like cloth napkins, you drop it into this little trash bin.
That's nice.
The light in the bathroom was just a single cylinder of acrylic, clear acrylic. And so it looked kind of like a fiber optic kind of light. It was unique. Anyways, so then they take away the juniper branch, okay? So the smell starts fading away, but they leave the dish there. And I wasn't quite sure. They just maybe were going to take it away later. The guy comes out and sets a whole bunch of plates up, some with condiments in them. And then there was four bowls that were obviously for the dish. And he takes the tongs and pulls the snow, it's not actually burned up, but the used to be burning snow up, and said, actually, the next course has been sitting in front of you for quite a while. And he reaches in there, he kind of feels around with the tongs, reaches in there and pulls out a potato.
One potato.
A single potato.
Which had been sous vide in butter.
Ooh.
For 10 hours.
Ooh.
Sous vide in butter.
So wait, you're saying that potato had been sitting in front of you for 10 hours and you had no idea. They also managed to manipulate the passage of time.
Right. No, they obviously cooked it before they put it in there, and then the fire actually like warmed it up some too. And so he like chopped that up, added some condiments, and then took this Cool Whip, you know, like they used to put Cool Whip on top of drinks at the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Took one of those things and started squirting this Cool Whip stuff on there. And he was explaining what it was. He said, "This is clam chowder mixed with half and half," which was like a very, very creamy clam chowder on a bed of potatoes. And it was hot. The Cool Whip was hot, so it was like a little bit different texture than normal. But that was really good. Like, that was my favorite dish, I think.
That sounds pretty
good. The potato and clam chowder was your favorite dish.
It was so good. I mean, everything was right about it. The potatoes were perfect. The flavor was there. It was very rich, and yet still wasn't overly done. Like, yeah. So after that dish, they started transitioning into a little bit sweeter. Sorry, after that dish, we went down into the kitchen where they served us a cocktail with some angel food cake, and you dip the angel food cake in this soy sauce stuff. And at the beginning, at the very
soy
first...
Soy sauce being like your normal Chinese soy sauce.
Like it was a soy sauce base with some other stuff mixed in it. So it was slightly sweet, but it also had that salty flavor to it. And then it was a sweet cake that you dipped into it. And right at the beginning, they gave us the option to get virgin cocktails. And we said yes. And then they never asked again. They never asked us again. And the person that took us down into the kitchen was different than the waiter that asked us that. But they knew which one of us wanted that. And like they had it all ready to go and just served us just like with the rest of the people. Wow. It was kind of cool. So that was definitely a plus on the service side.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and they had this interesting shaker machine from the 1800s to shake up these cocktails. They put them in like the, you know, the little silver containers, and then strapped them into this like a pedestal, and then these shakers were clamped in on the top part of it, and then they turned this crank, and it just like shook them really fast, just like up and down. It was kind of cool. Anyways, so we had that, then we went back up, and everybody in our area went down for that at the same time.
Okay.
And it was down in the kitchen, so we could see the people preparing the food, and like we could see some of the dishes that we'd had already being prepared. It was kind of a unique thing. And then the next thing was a shiitake mushroom with some green stuff, not sure what it was, and blueberry glass on top.
I don't really even know what blueberry glass is.
Thin sheets of blueberry flavored sugar. And it was like they were squares and they were kind of laid in there really nicely. And then that was really good. The next dish was some squab, which is a kind of bird, I think similar to a quail. And it was brought out to us with a live coal on top of it. Like an actual chunk of burning charcoal was on top of the meat, cooking the meat. It was a very small piece, and it was cooking the meat as it came to us. And then when they set it on the table, she took a, the waiter took a tongs and peeled that coal off of it, and then served the dish. And it was super tender. Yeah. Let me think. What was after that?
And I thought you said you were getting towards like the dessert part of the thing.
Yeah, that was the next one. Was then a dessert dish.
Okay.
That one. Oh, yes. And with that one, I forgot this. They brought out a jar of vanilla beans, and I was like, "Vanilla beans? We're gonna eat that?" And it said vanilla right on the jar, but then if you look closely, it said beef tenderloin jerky, flavored with vanilla, and it looked like a vanilla bean. It smelled like a vanilla bean, but it was beef jerky. So that was kind of good. There's one for each of us.
Oh, sweet.
Then the next thing they brought out was it was a piece of sweet potato, and I've never seen this kind before, but it was purple, and it was cut into a cube or looked almost like a diamond shape, and then it had some sauce over it, and then there was a rock beside it that was a thin crust of hard chocolate. And then on the inside was like a chocolate pudding. And then after that, they served us, s'mores. And it was on a stick, and then they served it on a piece of wood set in the center of the table. And the s'more was a marshmallow with chocolate on the inside. And it was obviously like they had made the marshmallow. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just one they bought. Mm-hmm. And then the very last thing they brought out was one of the coolest dishes, and they brought out these balloons, but the balloons were made of toffee. There was a helium balloon, but the balloon and the string was like an apple toffee, and so you go on the top of it and you suck the helium out, and then you talk funny to each other, and then you eat the toffee or whatever. And they brought it out. I thought it was kind of weird, but I think it was the right way to do it. They brought it to two of us first, and then they brought the next two, so that you could like
laugh at each other
or something. So yeah, it was all in all, it was a very unique experience, and I definitely would want to go again. It was like the whole time we were sitting there, like, this is really cool.
Were you? And I know it wasn't really about the amount of food that you got, but like leaving it, were you full? Were you satisfied?
Yeah, very, very comfortably satisfied. Not stuffed full, but not hungry at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you had so you would, but would you choose like and you would rather go there than a really good steakhouse like the steakhouse that we went to when we were in Chicago?
I think it would kind of depend on what mood I'm in. But it's definitely something that I would want to do again sometime in the future.
And the experience factor, did that play a big part of it?
Yeah, that was most of it.
And how long did it take? Was this like an hour and a half or 3 hours?
2 hours. Roughly 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, their website is pretty cool.
Is it?
Did you go to their website at all?
Yeah, I did go to their website.
I think they need to do a little work with it, but their idea is really cool. Mm-hmm. It comes as you scroll down, the image comes towards you.
What's the website called? www.alinarestaurant.com.
Alina. A-L-I-N-E. A.
Restaurant.
And according to the Chicago Tribune, it is the number one restaurant in Chicago.
Yes. Definitely.
All right. Very cool. Okay. I've got my tech tip for you. And Jeff, I hope Android has something similar to this.
Yes, tell us.
But I doubt that it does. If you're like me, you don't like unnecessary notifications. So when I get notified, I want it to be something either important or mm-hmm. something that is interesting. I often get notified about leaving a review for any given app that I've been using. And for some of the apps, it happens often. The Bible app is notorious for doing this. The YouVersion Bible app it's annoying. Well, I didn't know this until yesterday, but you can turn off apps requesting you to leave a review.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Ruben!
I know, it's
thank
big!
You!
You can turn off the rate this or whatever.
Yes. Hmm. Where they ask you, do you like this app? Please leave us a review. If you go into settings and then into iTunes and App Store, it's called in-app ratings and review. It's just a toggle button, and mine was turned on, which I'm sure everyone's is by default. But if you turn that off, this is a newer feature, and there are some apps that if they haven't been updated recently, they may still ask you, because this is something new that Apple did. It's a new feature of iOS, so it may be an old app that hasn't been updated within the last few months might still ask you to leave a review, but any of the newer apps should not be asking you to leave a review. And here's the thing, I think reviews are super important. I manage and help a few different e-commerce websites, and reviews are super helpful, but there's nothing more annoying than when someone is overbearing asking for reviews and just constantly begging for reviews. It's fine to ask once, but if it's more than that,
yeah,
I'll give you the palm of my hand.
Android will only ask you once on each app, and not even every app does it. It's if the developer wants to, but once you answer yes, no, or never, then if you say not now, then it will ask you again probably the next time you open the app. But if you hit never, it won't ever ask you again.
Even if there's an update to it,
right? Yeah,
I would like you to keep an eye on that, Jeff, because I suspect that if there's an update to that app, it will ask you again, even if you said never. It'll ask you if you want to leave a review.
No, because it has in Android, it's stored with the app data.
I know, but the app developer wants reviews.
Right. I don't think. And so but I don't. I've never.
Unless Android
it.
Is specifically saying, "Hey, you need to honor this."
Right. I don't think that I've noticed it though.
Okay. Okay. I think
there was something else.
I think that's everything. We don't have a poll question, I guess, today, but you could still go and vote if you wanted to.
So in other news, this is country news in the U.S.
World news.
A Mustang United States world news. GT500 was arrested and
in a
put
horse?
In jail. A Shelby Mustang GT500.
Was put in jail.
Was arrested.
For what?
For driving without a license. Now, the unique part of this story is that this was not a Shelby Mustang GT500, but this was the Shelby Mustang GT500. This guy legally changed his name to Shelby Mustang GT500 and was arrested for driving without a license. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of a funny thing. 29-year-old from Mountain Home, Arkansas.
If you're going to name yourself after a car, I feel like That's not a bad one to do because you can still call him Shelby. And that sounds relatively normal. Like,
yeah.
Like, if Jeff would change his name to Aston Martin, then we would call him Aston for short.
There's the one podcast I listen to. It has this game where it's called Rich Man, Poor Man.
Ah.
And so they give the one example is that someone owns a sword. And so you know it's either a homeless, crazy homeless person with a sword, or it's some rich collector that has medieval swords.
Okay.
And so I almost feel like naming yourself Shelby, I don't know, I almost feel like that could be either it could be a rich person or a poor person, but not just your normal, like you and I, we wouldn't go do this.
Like a middle class person right. wouldn't do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It was.
Although I know it costs money to change your name, so maybe.
It was definitely.
How much money does it cost to change it?
I don't know. Well, I know people that have
changed their name. How much money does it cost to change your name?
And the reason I say it could be a rich person is because you have Snoop Dogg and clear, you know, hip hop stars.
Has Snoop Dogg actually changed his name to Snoop Dogg, or is it just his stage name?
I guess I'm not sure, but there are.
Because, like, Mark Twain. That wasn't his actual name.
But that was
obviously that's a little bit different. But a lot of artists would do that.
Okay, so according to LegalZoom.com, who isn't a sponsor of this show, but the first website that came up said costs vary between $150 to $435.
Okay, so it's actually not that bad. It doesn't cost that much.
It's not outrageous. I feel like it was less for Carrie and I when Carrie wanted to change her last name.
I think that would be
a little bit if you get married.
I think the last name change is probably a different scenario than actually changing your actual name.
Your first name.
All right. That was interesting, Jeff. Thank you. I think that's all we've got.
It's true.
Why don't we get to the point, Layton?
Yeah, let's get to the point. The point is Ruben had an insane tech tip. Insane. The podcast was finally recorded on a Tuesday, which is rare. Ruben used his first smiley face with heart eyes on public media. And Jeff was apparently brainwashed at a food tasting. That's all I can gather from this whole thing.
Nothing from your experience of hosting your neighbors?
Oh, I survived vape lock.
All right, and what is our word of the week?
Wait, what was the name? Alina? Alina.
However you say it, I know how to spell it.
Alina.
Alina.
Alina.